Hi, you're listening to the weekly podcast of Life Ministry Church. For more information, head to our website, www.lmc.org.au.
I've been thinking about this message for a while, and the reason I said that I'm excited about it, because as I've sort of studied a little deeper this subject of comparison, which I'm talking about tonight, I've just been able to understand a little bit of how powerful, if we can grasp this subject and if we can have victory over it in our lives, how powerful it can actually be for us. And it is, it's a really ugly thing, comparison sometimes. And it's an ugly subject. It's stinking thinking, as Pastor Graham would say. And I want to help you remember how ugly this is. I've got a few pictures here. And is there anyone who has a dog? You got a dog? Yes. A few dog people. Who has a dog with a face that only a mother could love? Anybody? Yes. Yes. There are a couple. Well, these are definitely that. This is Sam. He won the world's ugliest dog competition in California in 2000. No, it's coming. Yeah, it's coming. I'm just leading you into it. 2005. That's Sam. He won the world's ugliest dog competition, 2005. This was the third year in a row that he'd won this title. Sam had a full life until he unfortunately died of cancer, but he got to age 14, so he did pretty well. This next one is Munchkin. Munchkin has won several awards over the world, and unfortunately no one can actually figure out what breed she is. She's so much of a mix. Munchkin snorts when she walks and has grey hair around her neck, as you can see, that sticks out on its own without any use of combing or a product at all. That's just how it is. This next one, he's my favourite. This is Doug. And Doug was abandoned in an animal shelter in England before he was picked up by someone wanting to adopt the winner of the 2010 Britain's Ugliest Dog Award. This next one, this is Miss Ellie. Who thinks that's cute? Anyone that cute? Cutie, cute, ugly. Yeah. She won the prize in 2009 at the age of 17. She's a Chinese crested. Chinese crested is the brand. The brand? The brand of dog. The breed of dog. And the last one, this is Elwood. He's also Chinese crested. He's a slash with a chihuahua, though. And he's cool. Elwood, he actually won his owner's $1,000 by winning the blue ribbon in 2007. So, as I said, a Chinese crested chihuahua mix. So, remember those faces? And, like, yes, a little bit ugly, these dogs, but remember that, and remember that in line with comparison and how ugly comparison can be sometimes. So I've titled this message, The Comparison Trap, because as you'll see, it's something that we can get stuck in and feel trapped in without even knowing it. The way we compare ourselves to others is something that in all areas of our lives, I think we've become more and more conditioned to as we just keep walking through life. And it starts so young too. I wonder if there's something that you can think about when you were young that you were maybe being a little bit jealous of the kids that had something that you didn't when you were young. I don't know if you can think about that. But there was for me. My whole life I've grew up with the Nelsons and with Pete. We were young. He was a year older than me, but we grew up in the same year level and we did a lot of things together. And we were blessed with the houses that we lived in that we both had a pool at our house. So fortunately, at summertime, it was great. We could go to either place and have a swim, which was excellent. It was great fun for a while until one day at Pete's house, this large fiberglass egg arose out of the ground in his backyard. And it had a slide coming out of this egg into the pool. So it sounds weird, doesn't it? Yeah, it's like, I don't know, what actually was that egg? Oh, it was one of those spinning eggs, you know, sit in the egg and you like spin around in it real fast. I'm getting lots of blank looks. Bill Simpson handed it to you and said, use this in your pool. and it was like, as a young kid, this was amazing because you had a slide actually into the pool. At my house, don't tell my parents, all you could do was jump off the roof into the pool. But that was a bit naughty, so anyway, don't let that get back to them. It wasn't me, it was only my dad. Don't let that get back to him either. But it was something that I remember. I was real happy with the pool that I had at my house until I saw what someone got at their house. Yeah? Do you see what I'm saying? And I wonder if you can think about that in your own life as well. When I think about my own kids, Judah, he's 5 now, and I don't yet hear him coming down, coming home, talking about what other kids have and he doesn't, or what others are allowed to do, but he's not. Not yet, apart from his sister, what she's allowed to do and he's not. But even if it's not him doing the comparing, unfortunately, we as parents sometimes fall into that trap of comparing our children with other children. We're constantly checking to see what kids of the same age are up to and what they're doing. And oh, if they're doing that, then my child should be doing that as well. And it's a real trap that we as parents can get into sometimes, and even the siblings as well. I want to look in further detail about why this action of comparing is both harmful to our relationships with each other, and even further, how it causes us to be insecure in knowing who we are in Christ. And it is essential in our Christian walk that we know who we are in Christ. So if I were to ask you today, and I don't want any feedback, but if I ask you today in which way you're comparing your life to others, I think up the top of the list, a lot of us would immediately think of physical possessions, of materialistic things. And we compare these things with those that are around us and wonder why they have them, but we don't sometimes, or sometimes we know exactly why that's the case. And in youth, we are blessed to lead an amazing youth group. And just so you know, just youth is going amazing this year. And if you remember to pray for our kids department and our youth department, they are, we have amazing leaders, and our youth, there are people coming to know Jesus every single week at youth, and people's lives turning around, and people going home and telling their families what happened to them at youth, and families coming to know Jesus through that, through these ministries. So be encouraged and keep praying for all of us, because we need it, and it's just excellent to do that sort of work. But When we see that at youth, and we see it around, you know, maybe smaller things like clothing. People are jealous of other people's clothing, or phones are a big one, tech devices, but also relationships. I'm jealous about the relationship someone has and I don't, or even family situations. I'm jealous, or I'm comparing the fact that my parents have split up and the fact that your parents haven't split up, and what that causes people to feel and right in the depths of their heart is a lot of pain. So it is a definite trap that we can get into. But as we move through different stages in our life, as we eventually do, although the things change, the comparisons sometimes don't. And soon it becomes cars, your first car, some of the young adults. What does your first car look like versus what that person next to you's first car looks like, or even today, cars in general, houses, size and location, where are we comparing, jobs, how much does that person earn, how much does this person earn, how much do I earn, what is the status of that job? I felt this in a huge way after I finished school, and I did primary school teaching for 12 months at uni, and decided to that wasn't the direction that God wanted me to go in life, and pulled out of that, and worked full-time at Woolworths. And I did that for, I was at Woolworths for 13 years. And when I made that decision, I really felt, even though I was willingly walking that path and getting excited about it, but even though it wasn't me comparing what I was doing with someone else, I felt it because of other people comparing what I was doing to them, and felt like they were sort of looking down. And so we doing the comparing of other people sometimes can be a trap as well. Kids, how smart are they? How tall are they? How talented are they? Partners that we have, how successful, how pretty, how handsome. Holidays we go on, how cheap, how expensive, how long, to where. We're always comparing these things. Physical appearance, it goes without saying. Social media. How many followers do you have versus how many followers does someone else have? How many likes did your photo get compared to how many somebody else has got? That's a big one. I don't know if it's big for all y'all, but for all y'all, it's big. You know what I'm saying? Anyway, I'm letting you in on that. Social media is even worse, because you're only really seeing the highlights of somebody else's life. You're seeing what they choose for you to see. And then you're measuring that up. We're measuring that up with what we know of ourselves and the depths of our own heart. Seeing their best against our worst, and it can make us feel real bad. And just general success, we are comparing success and whatever that looks like to you, whatever you interpret that to be. This is where it gets real ugly, and I'm ashamed to admit it, but I've also fallen into this trap of comparison in different areas, and it came to light in a shocking way for me when I realized that when someone else around me was doing, they were doing really well, they're having success in a certain area of their life, and they encountered a bump in the road. On the surface, I was disappointed, but inside, it's so ugly. But there was some part of like happiness in seeing someone else fail. And what is with that? Isn't that so disgusting? That through comparison, through comparing, to bring someone else down to our level, we are happy that they are failing. And I just think that's it's obviously just a disgusting thing. And I was so fed up with this ugliness, and I had to work on it, and I did. And a lot of this has come out of that. So if we're willing to allow this ugliness to continue under the surface, it will continue, and it'll continue there unresolved for the rest of our lives, instead of being able to celebrate other people's successes. And I think that's so important, that we just in general are able to celebrate, love on others and celebrate the successful points they have in life. Let's look at the root of comparison. Where does it all come from, and why do we have the need for it in our lives? Why do we need to compare all the time? And it all comes back to a question. I think I've got my slides right. Maybe I can take that one down. It all comes back to a question that we ask ourselves in life. And the answers for this question, let me read it again. It's how we decide to answer this question that results in our tendency to compare and make decisions that could be considered unwise in God's economy. And that question is, how am I doing? If you ask yourself that, how am I doing? Who do you think about and who do you look at to answer that question in your life? Whose possessions are we stacking ours up against to see if we're going okay? How are we measuring up to what society says is acceptable or successful? Whose approval do we need to feel that we are meeting that blurry line that is the standard? It's a good question. Paul speaks into this in his letter to the Galatians. When they had started listening to other people, started listening to other preaching, and sort of forgot what he was saying, and the truth that Paul had been speaking was being lost and trampled on in order to listen to someone who was a little more pleasing in the way that they spoke, although didn't speak the whole truth. And Paul says this, it's Galatians 1 and verse 10. Am I now trying to win the approval of human beings or of God? Or am I trying to please people? If I was still trying to please people, I would not be a servant of Christ. As Graham said, as a church, we're doing FebFast at the moment, and it was Chris Nelson's birthday this week. Chris, happy birthday. Have you had a good week? Yeah, clap her, come on. And it's a rule when in our office that when it's your birthday, you bring the cake for everyone else. And so she brought a chocolate, this rich chocolate, was it chocolate and cream? Chocolate roulade with coffee cream. This cake was so rich that you didn't even have to taste it and you got your sugar fix. You could just smell it and it was and you were done. But in our office, about half the staff are fasting sweets and food, so all the better for us who weren't doing that. And I'm glad I wasn't, because it was delicious cake, by the way. But Cass, my wife, she's a cake maker as a bit of a hobby on the side, and she does some pretty amazing works of art with cakes. She's done kids' birthday cakes and Gramps' age birthday cakes. Wedding cakes. She's done anniversary cakes. And each cake has been different. Each cake has a different design. It's a different size depending on how many people it needs to feed and the style of occasion and all that sort of stuff. You know, the wedding cakes are pristine. They have beautiful colours and flowers and other things, whereas a child's birthday cake is much simpler and sometimes can be a little rough around the edges. So let's imagine this scenario together. Let's imagine the kid's cake is sitting there on the bench ready to go. She's just finished it. And it's feeling pretty good about the little dinosaur figurines it has on top. It's feeling pretty good about the chocolate dirt that's been sprinkled around it. It's feeling pretty good that it's a chocolate cake to start off with, because who doesn't like chocolate cake? And it's sitting there just feeling pretty chuffed. It's pretty good. But then the wedding cake that's just been finished for a different occasion comes up and it gets plopped right next to it. And the wedding cake is much taller, and it begins to look down at the kids' cake with its beautiful white icing and its perfect lines. It's a picture of perfection in the cake world. That's what Cass makes. All of a sudden, the chocolate cake, what happens? It doesn't feel so good about itself. And maybe it even feels a little bit embarrassed that it has some plastic dinosaurs sitting on its head. It starts to think that the dirt makes it look like it's just been thrown together. It's comparing itself to something it feels is superior in the wedding cake. No one told the chocolate cake that the wedding cake was superior. The baker didn't make the cake superior, but for one reason or another, that's the way it feels. Which brings me to my first point on comparison. This only two of them. Comparison leads to discontent. Comparison leads to discontent. Discontent with what we do have, discontent with what we don't have. And it all comes back to the action of comparing our lives to someone else's. Are you feeling discontent with the way your life has turned out so far? Who or what are you comparing that to? And I'm not saying here that we don't have the responsibility to keep moving and keep working and keep pressing into God, into all that God has for us in life. But not in a way that we continue to compare what others, what that looks like for other people. I loved it at the end of Pastor Graham's message this morning, how he talked about inquiring of God. If you weren't here this morning, grab the podcast tomorrow. I encourage you, listen to the past three messages. And the need for us to do that ourselves, to go to the Word and pray and seek God for ourselves. Not riding on what God has said to someone else, but riding on what God has said to us. And there is a message that He has got for each and every one of you here. And that word, that message, has not expired. It has not expired in your life. If you're sitting here and thinking, yeah, that word that was given to me 20 years ago that I haven't seen come to pass, God's word does not expire. And it still stands for you. Absolutely does. On the other side of this scenario with the cakes, the wedding cake looks down at the chocolate cake, and what does it feel? It starts to feel real good about itself. It even forgets about a couple of parts where it could have had a little more work to touch it up, because all of a sudden, it has something to compare itself to. It looks at the chocolate cake, forgets about its own flaws, because it thinks, well, at least I'm doing better than that cake. Yeah? At least I'm doing better than that. And that's the other ugly side of comparison. That comparison leads to complacency. When we measure ourselves against what others have or are doing and find that maybe it looks as though we're going all right, well, at least I don't have a job like that. Well, at least my kids behave better than their kids. At least I actually go to church. Forget about all the other things that God is challenging me about and drawing closer to Him. At least I go to church. You know? How easy when we're stacking ourselves up against someone else. How easy it is to get complacent. How easy it is. God can and has blessed all of us in an amazing way. But let's not let that blessing be something that causes us to pat ourselves on the back and say, yeah, I've done my bit and I'm doing better than what they are doing, and now I can relax with what God has blessed me with. And the trick with comparison is it doesn't let that blessing be enough. The truth of the matter is there will always be someone who we look up to and we think we want be more like them, or we want more of what they have. And there's always going to be people that will look up to us and think, I want more of what they have. And it's going to be a constant thing throughout the rest of our lives. And comparing on both sides of that coin, like I've just talked about, that closes the trap, the comparison trap. So the chocolate cake, it's now feeling a little bit sad for itself. And it starts to resent its maker for making it look the way it does. It starts to question its maker as to why it's been made the way it has. It's become dissatisfied with the way it's been made to look. And even worse, it's become dissatisfied with its maker. Why haven't you made me more beautiful? Why don't I have pretty flowers? Why do I have to have the ugly dinosaurs on me? Why can't I be vanilla? Why didn't you make me better? The cake is crying out. Why didn't you make me better? And when we compare ourselves with others, that's unfortunately, in a way, what we're saying to God sometimes. Our maker, our creator. God, I'm dissatisfied with the way I've turned out. Why can't I be more like them? Why couldn't you make me more athletic? Why couldn't you make me smarter? And sometimes we make excuses as to why we're not doing what God has called us to do. God, if I had as much money as this person, then imagine I could do that. And God, if I was as good at sport as them, then I could do. If I was as pretty as her, if I was could sing like her, if I had parents, the parents that he had, then if I. It could be endless, the excuses that we could make. But there's one thing that those cakes, here's where it comes together. There's one thing that those cakes, in the midst of their judging of themselves and each other, they failed to understand. They failed to understand that their maker knew what was going on the whole time. Their maker knew exactly what he was doing when he put those plastic dinosaurs on top. He knew exactly what he was doing when he made that chocolate dirt and sprinkled it around the edges. The maker knew what was going on because he understood the big picture and he knew the purpose of this cake. God knows your purpose, and he did not make a mistake when he made you. God has made each one of us unique with a new, unique plan and purpose on this earth. Comparison gets in the way of that. Do you know your purpose? Do you know what God has purpose for you here on earth? The Word of God, it may not give you the step-by-step instructions for your own purpose in life, day by day, but it definitely gives us the overall that speaks into our specific. Romans 12, 1 to 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed by this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I encourage you to take Romans 12 home and read the rest of it, because it goes into further detail. In that and in our purpose, and it's great reading in that light. I just don't have time to go through it right now, but write that down, Romans 12, read the rest of it tonight about and in relation to your purpose. If we continue to compare ourselves with other people, whether it be to try and live up to another person's standards or to make ourselves feel better about the position we're in, it stifles our potential to walk fully in the purpose that God has for us. So it's one thing to know about it and be aware of the trap, but it's another thing to overcome it, yeah? So how do we overcome the temptation to compare all the time? Again, Paul speaks straight into this with his letter to the Philippians. And there are two things we're going to pull out of this scripture. See if you can guess. In Philippians 4, verse 6 to 13, you know what they are? The two things. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me. These do, and the God of peace will be with you. And then we go on to verse 11. Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased. I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. There are two things that Paul talks about here that are like soothing ice to the burn of comparison: peace and contentment. And Paul was speaking about contentment while in prison, and how often even we can become discontent from a favorable position. How many great things are going on around us in our life, and yet we're discontent. What's with that? And what drives our discontentment? Comparison. And you know what the next verse is? Philippians 4 and 13. How has he learned to be content in both need and fullness? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I think, again, this ties in so well with what Pastor Graham's been challenged us about on Sunday mornings in chasing after God. And his challenge to us in week one was to apply ourselves to the promises of God's word. And he's used this scripture, Matthew 6:33, in the messages after that as well. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. So Paul's teaching about contentment. He doesn't mean sit around and do nothing and just enjoy the wonderful things in life. He's not saying be complacent. He's helping us to realize that there is no real contentment. There is no real contentment outside of that which can only come through knowing and following Jesus Christ. I'll say that again. There is no real contentment outside of that which can only come through knowing and following Jesus Christ. True contentment can only come from a life that is devoted to him and obedient to his teaching. So I just want to, as we finish up tonight and as we close, I want to ask the worship team to come up, because there's a song that we even just sung that speaks so perfectly into this. And as I've looked deeper into this issue of comparison, it's made me more and more determined to kick it in the head, really, when it raises its ugly head, to get rid of it. Start to compare and kick. Start to compare. Gone. And I don't know about you, but I want to be able to freely celebrate every success that everyone around me has. And I want to be obedient to the unique calling that God has for me, while continuing to be inspired by those around me who are being obedient to the calling that God has for them. Again, Pastor Graham instructed us so well towards the end of his message today when he said, imitate people in those things that will lead you closer to God. The song that I've asked these guys to prepare for us is Christ is Enough, which we sung before. And we sing this: Christ is my reward and all of my devotion. Now there's nothing in this world that could ever satisfy. For through every trial, my soul will sing. No turning back, I've been set free. For Christ is enough for me. Christ is enough for me. Everything I need is in you. Everything I need. Let's close our eyes, church. Father God, we thank you that that even though there are things in our lives that are not perfect, that there are things in our life that we need to work on, Lord God, I pray that that you have the answers. Father, I pray that your word gives us guidance. I thank you that your word gives us guidance. I thank you that we can come to a place where we can, Lord, be challenged about where our lives are headed. And that you can highlight things in us that need a little bit of a shift, a little bit of a change. And Lord, if this is if this is something that's sitting on people's hearts right now, and that trap of comparison in whatever area of life that is, Lord, I pray as a church, as individuals right now, that we would lift that up to you. And Father, say, Lord God, take this, have it all, Father God. This ugliness that this has become, this trap of comparison in our lives, take it, Father God, and use it for your good.